Hello and welcome back to Matt's Truck and Brett Podcast. Matt Ireland hosting once again. I'm joined by my good friends Trucker Squeaky and Jim Boy. Good evening, gentlemen.
Hello, mate. You all right?
We've done it again. Straight at the top.
But we are.
Oh my God.
We are not starting again.
No, we're not. No, we don't need to. Yeah, hello. Good evening, Matt.
Good evening.
Squeaky. I hope you're both really well. I'm parked here at the old Sister Depot Bedford at Wixham's. Right about 3 foot away from one of our breakers on the old CB app, Mr. Colgate, who's decided to go windscreen to windscreen with me. So my curtains will be right tight tonight, by the way.
More for his sake or your sake?
Probably his, to be fair.
Yeah, understandable. So before I was actually going to say to Squeaky, you know, do you want to take the reins of this one this evening? But Jim's gone steaming in there.
Yeah, no worries.
Of course.
Hello, yeah. As per usual, my first question
was Jim. Jim, hello, how are you? Where are you?
Oh dear, do you know what?
Doesn't matter.
We've literally just 2 minutes ago, I had a rundown of what we're going to record on this episode, and the opening piece was going to be Matt's going to do the intro, hand it over to me, and then I'm going to come to these two and say, how are you both? Where are you? What are you doing? Where are you parked? And Jim just went straight in. So I've got no intro.
And then I did say to you both, I'm in a particular chipper mood tonight.
Very true. Yeah, we can't.
For no reason. So I'll tell you what, I'll adopt radio silence, push the mute button, and then when
maybe
you want
that's,
me...
Maybe that's why... Maybe that's why you and Gav are packed, so like window to window, like he knows you're in this chipper mood. He's sort of going, hey, I might get lucky here.
I just offered him a chicken kebab and he just put his fingers down his throat. So, no, you know what I mean?
Yeah, each their own, I guess.
Yeah.
Right, should we pretend that bit? Let's pretend that bit hadn't happened. So, hello, guys, and welcome back to Matt's Trucking Great Podcast. Tonight I'm with Matt Ireland. And Jim Boy, how are we, Jim?
I'm not too bad, thanks, mate. Yeah, it's all right.
Can I take a bet on where Jim's parked up tonight?
Oh dear. Anyway, Matt? Yeah, come on, Matt. Where are you?
Right,
the half naked man.
Right, the half naked man is currently sat in Cyprus at the moment, about 10 miles up the road from Ionapa. Paramino, I think it's, I can't remember how it's pronounced really, because I didn't book it to be fair, but I am here on a research basis and not a holiday basis. Don't give me that, Jim.
So what research basis is this, like
book
like
research.
On Gavin and Stacey where they try all of the different beers from around the world? Is that what this is?
I mean, it's kind of similar, but with a lot less drinking because there's a lot of scuba diving involved, basically. So the last thing you want to be is hungover when you're going into the middle of a shipwreck, basically.
I must admit, I've seen today, as we're recording now, some of the stuff that you've been doing has been put out online. I'm sure people will have seen it. Some of it looks unbelievable.
Yeah,
we were speaking about this today on the what's that app called, Jim?
I can't remember.
CB Talk. By Midland.
That's the one. By Midland. Yeah. We were talking about that today. We're talking about you and you diving today on there. Some of it looks unbelievable.
Yeah, it's
really does.
Yeah, the Zenobia shipwreck, for those that don't know about it, it is one of the top shipwrecks in the world. Over 100 trucks on board. No loss of human life. Sank in 1980 from memory. I should know because I've been writing a book about it for several years. But there's so many myths and legends about it, and so much of it is intact as well. It's gradually degrading and slowly collapsing in on itself, but it's full of F-88s, 89s, some very early F-series Volvos, Jim, round headlight ones.
Well,
you want one series Scania's, 3300 DAFs, Steyr's, all sorts from all corners of Europe, all heading for the Middle East, and all lost in this one ferry off of Cyprus. It's about a kilometre offshore, so it's really easy to get to. It's not a dive that... it is a dive that your average diver can do, but you need a bit more train route to really get the full experience of it all. It's
I spoke to you yesterday about this, and I've done a bit of chat GPT on it. So there's several decks as well, isn't there?
Yeah.
So what caused the sinking of it?
There's a stability issue. The had a computerized ballast system, and right. that was going wrong, basically, to cut a long story short. So it started severely listing over, just gone midnight on the night before it's due to carry on into Syria and dock. So it listed over severely. Everyone had to evacuate. They did try and write it. They did have some success with getting it sort of back upright, to the point of it even started listing over to the starboard side. But then overnight, it then listed back once again and sank. Lost everything.
Just think, well, there's no loss of life, really, isn't there? So, incredible. I mean, you, like me, Matt, we love our photography. So, them images now from underwater, I don't know how deep the ferry is as well, absolutely brilliant. The detail that, I never want to do scuba diving as much as I want to do potholing.
Yeah.
But, wow, mate, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you're doing it for people, obviously you're an instructor, you've done hundreds of dives. And people, is it the first time you've dived that site as well?
No, I was here 12 years ago, but I was nowhere near as qualified. So the seabed is at 42 metres, which I can do, but I probably won't, because this week is purely trying to figure out what truck is what, where it is, and just trying to map out as much of it as I possibly can. So although the middle cargo hold, so it's completely closed off from sunlight, there's a very little bit getting in at the top. So there's very little marine life in there. So it's just been slowly rusting over 40-odd years. So there's a lot more detail in there. There's no current or anything like that. So it's just like your bright lights illuminating stuff and just picking it all out as to what is what.
Wow.
Whereas the stuff, obviously, in the exposed deck that's all now fallen off on the seabed, that's all covered in marine life. From my research, I know roughly what is what and where is where, but to the untrained eye, it's just a truck. But You see the trails, the big belly tanks, the Trilex wheels, all these synonymous things.
And even like the
dive guide who I've got for the week with the company I'm using, even she said today, she's like, I'm seeing stuff that I've never seen this wreck, and she's been diving it 25 years because they just normally glide over these trucks and don't really pay it much attention, whereas I'm looking for stickers.
Yeah.
I'm looking for mud flaps with like dealers' names.
Sure, yeah.
Simple stuff like that us truckers would recognise in an instant, and these people just pass over. And like even today, found some writing, and it was quite serendipitous, really, because it was a company from Aich in Switzerland, and Aich is just outside of Bâle, and I used to load there all the time when I was at Trans Am from a company called Audio Rent. So I know the town. I know the town Aich really well. It was my favourite place to load ever before starting a tour. And as soon as I saw it underwater, I was just like, my God, look at that! That's just
mental, isn't it?
It's just come full circle.
I mean, did you actually just look into the cabs as well? I mean, obviously the interior's gone, but this is going to sound really stupid, but it's one of the first things that comes to my mind. Were the keys still in the ignition and stuff like that? Were that all gone?
They probably would be. So some of the glass is still intact. Some isn't. Over time, unfortunately, there's divers that aren't quite as respectful.
Okay,
I think it's a fair way.
It takes stuff.
So sadly, over time, most of the number plates have disappeared because people want trophies for some reason, whereas some stuff get left behind, some doesn't and whatnot. So it makes it a bit more difficult to try and decipher what these vehicles are. So with the knowledge of different, paint schemes, names, all things like
amazing,
just simple things like that. But obviously, again, trying to research this, every other diver in the world generally isn't an avid truck driver or historian, as such, as I like to call myself. So they're not they're not taking pictures of these little details that I can pick up and go. It's silly things like there's three Swedish trucks on board, and I'm never going to pronounce it correctly. So if you're from Sweden listening, I do apologise in advance. but there's a Swedish bodybuilder called Janjo Flack, I think it is. So they put mud flaps on their vehicles of the bodies that they've built. So as soon as I see that, it's like, that's a Swedish truck. I know straight away that's a Swede.
Yeah.
Then you see the S for Sweden. And there was one today, and I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. It's on my footage. I think it was Box Van. Builders, which I presume is a British one. It's not one I've ever heard of. I will have to look it up, and we'll have to put it in the show notes and on the socials to see if anyone, probably none of our generation will know, but maybe if they know an older person, because although it's written in English, it might well not be an English company that created this body.
Okay. Yeah,
so
yeah.
So that will all help.
Get it,
if I can figure out where that was built, that will help to narrow the search down as such.
Did you get the name of the company?
No, this is just like the actual badge on like the headboard of what was a vehicle body, like a box van.
Yeah,
So
like Fruhoff or Tortline.
Yeah,
or something
yeah,
like
that's,
that.
That's
yeah,
it, yeah,
yeah,
like Fruhoff or trailer or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And off the top of my head, it was box something, a box van or something like that. And it's not one that I remember or recognise straight away. So I'm just a bit intrigued as to what that one is. So, I mean, there was six, I think there's six British trucks on there when it sank.
Wow.
One of them, in fact, two of them are very well known. One I've already put out in the socials, which I'm sure you saw the video of the F10
in
Australia. Yeah, so that was a British F10, brand new that was. On his first trip, Nick Carter, driver's name, here bought brand new bedding.
Wow.
Cooking equipment, brand new everything for his brand new truck, loaded with eggs and margarine in an American free-off trailer, funnily enough. So quite an unusual trailer. on his way to Riyadh, lost a whole lot. When he got rescued, back to Cyprus, flown back home, straight into another truck, straight back to the same place to reload the same stuff to go straight back out to Riyadh.
I bet he had his running money in his pocket, though, didn't he?
I bet he didn't. now again, speaking of that, the three Swedish trucks, one of them I've got a photo of that is lost on there. I've never seen a photo of the actual truck on the wreck, but that particular truck has a safe on it that has all the running money for all three Swedish trucks that is lost on there.
Proper.
And I think today I saw where it was.
Proper treasure.
Wow, Matt.
I am transfixed by this, Squeaky. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I am.
It's amazing, isn't it?
I've got this list of itineraries in front of me, and I'm just screwing it up as I'm sat here thinking, sod it, we'll just sit and listen to Matt tell us.
The only thing I've come close to Matt's experience was last week when I played golf, when I was hitting my 7-9 into the woods, and I'm in the woods trying to look for golf balls.
You know, similar. not as dangerous, I presume.
There was a prickly bush.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah,
like Dora the Explorer.
Honestly, but yeah, I doffed my cap to you, Matt. Man, that's an amazing thing to do. But
well, as I've always
incredible.
Said,
incredible.
If people wish to learn to dive so they can come and dive as Zenobia, then all they've got to do is get in touch, get trained up, and come out here and go and have a little look at some old trucks. Simple as that.
I'll do that in the boat with a few beers in my hand. You send the video.
That sounds amazing.
Fair enough.
Yeah, me and Squeaky will be there. He'll put some over his full head, but.
Well, I'll keep the seats warm.
When you come up, Matt, first thing I'll do is have a nice cold. When you get a nice, you know, when the weather's right, when you've got condensation running down the side of your beer.
Yeah.
That'd be for you, son.
Sounds very good.
I can't wait.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Leave you two boys on the sun deck on the boat. Yeah. I'll pop down, have a little look about. Not a problem.
When did you come home? How long you got out there now?
So we're recording on a Wednesday, I believe, aren't we? So
yeah.
I've got two more days of diving, fly home on the Saturday, and then back to the old King's Lynn and Red Lodge on the Monday. So, yeah.
Perfect. And then you're at Retro, are you?
September, yeah.
No, the one in...
June. So the CBRTC show in June.
Yeah, CBRTC.
Yeah, so which is the following weekend when I get home. I'm there. I've got a large model display. In fact, I'll tell you now because I think I'm not sure how long before this is out, but I've got a large scale extra display that I'm taking up there, so which should be good fun.
Fabulous,
yeah,
fabulous.
And then the following weekend will be Kelsall.
Yeah,
and then I'll be off to Greece. Funny enough, with the dogs.
Wow.
So, on that,
the closest I've ever been to Greece is my mum's kitchen. But
fair enough.
Well.
about. Yeah, yeah, it's interesting.
Although talking about truck shows, there is a good link. Obviously, that the idea of this podcast today was to continue the discussion from previous about truck shows.
Yeah,
and one of them that that was brought up that we never really spoke about on the previous podcast was Swedfest.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done Swedfest. I don't think you have, Jim. Have you?
No, I haven't. No, it always clashes with my holiday to Spain playing golf. Sorry.
It always clashes with you being Dora the Explorer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who said that?
But you've done it, Matt, right?
Yeah, multiple times. Yeah.
Let's have, so what's whereabouts is it? You know, what's the price range compared to UK truck shows? You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Right, it's held at Stone and Barnes, which is just off the A140, just to the west of Ipswich. So quite a rural location in Suffolk. Little bit of history. It started out many years ago. There was a little local show called Crowfield Truck Rally. Rob Billman, who used to attend there, he sort of said to my good friend Simon Wasp, who I've interviewed on the previous podcast, you know, oh, it'd be nice to have like a Scania show. This is cutting it very, very simply. So Simon sort of said, well, you know, have a Scania show, and sort of encouraged him. So Rob put on a show. It got very successful as like a Scania thing. Then there's a few changes. And then to basically be able to carry on, he incorporated Volvo into it. So it became Swedfest, and it's just, it has taken off. It is phenomenal. Entry fee is, off the top of my head, it's, I think it's maybe just about double figures. For an adult, in fact, it might even be less than £10. I'm sure Rob or Michelle, hopefully if they're listening, which they should do, and if they're not, they should, will correct me. but it's very reasonably priced, and it is for traders as well, which is something we touched on previously. I'm not going to quote any numbers because I don't have them to hand. But I remember chatting with Michelle about it, and it's all exceptionally fairly priced. Now, having said that.
Yeah,
I believe all the food stands there are provided by Stone and Barnes. So Stone and Barnes, if people haven't been, which probably a lot of them haven't, it's like it's kind of like almost like a holiday camp with a showground, and it's got like a little set of shops. There's like a falconry, and there's various different bits and pieces that. So the whole family have got stuff to do, as well as a truck, as well as having the show held at the showground. So Stone and Barnes, I believe, put on all the food stands. So they're all the same price. It's all much the same. And it's, although it's slightly expensive, it's not like, you know, 20 quid for a burger and chips. It's fairly reasonably priced. Now, you can also bring your caravan as well and stay. You can stay in that. But it's the show itself sells out very, very quickly because it's so popular. It's phenomenal. And I'm sure I did mention before, like, you know, they line it up chronologically. So you walk in and you've got the earliest incarnations of the Scania and the Volvo either side of the walkway, you know, and it just goes on like herringbones, and they are literally parked to within an inch perfection of each other with photographers in mind. So you can't leave tables, chairs, anything in front of these vehicles. You know, if you are going to have anything like that, I think you could possibly have it at the back. If that at all. So it's clutter-free. Obviously, you can't stop people getting in your way. But in theory, there's enough room for you to take a decent shot of that vehicle. And it goes around the whole of the
showground. I like that.
Yeah, the whole of the showground. And it just works from, obviously, they start with whichever the earliest possible vehicle ever booked in will be, which they've had Varbuses, you know, Zero Series Scanners, your early Volvos. Yeah. So you've got people like... I think it's Tim Roth from Lincolnshire. I think he's now selling his big collection. He would bring loads of his. You've got John Thomas with a range of them. The amount of Dutch and Irish that come over for it as well is incredible. It really, really is. And you just work your way around. And so, you know, you work into the 70s with like the 0 and the 1 series. And then onwards, and then you get to like the 90s, which is my favourite bit. So you've got the 2 and the 3 series scan. You've got the version 1 FHs. And it's just it just works its way around. And so you can just literally do like a historical loop and see the development of the Scandinavian manufacturers as it goes around.
My OCD is having an orgasm, as you're saying. Crazy.
Yeah, you'd absolutely. Yeah, right, yeah. I think originally the concept upset a few people because obviously you turn to the truck show for your mates, like, well, I want to park with him and them, and they're like, well, you can't. And so,
yeah.
So a few people take umbrage, like, well, I'm not coming in, and off they go. It's like, well, it's your loss. But then I think, you know, the next year's like, actually, well, yeah. You know, I've kind of missed out here. It doesn't matter.
I'll park there, exactly.
Yeah, because also, there's a really good big bar there.
Yeah.
That's where you'll spend a lot of your time catching up with all your friends over a few beers. So I've heard, of course, you know, I wasn't at the bar on the Friday or Saturday night last year. Definitely not.
Is there any other show? I don't know of any other show that puts everything in order like that and has them rules. I don't think Drifter Style or Interlaken doesn't have that. Or Assen, Jim, you've done Assen, have you?
No, I've only seen Assen online, really, mate. And it's a big thing I do want to go to in the next few years. But I've only ever seen once where I went to Retro. We'll get onto Retro in a minute, where Charles Russell lined them all up in chronological order, which has still got the photograph of, which is absolutely fabulous to see.
Yeah.
But going back to Swedefest, other guys that I talked to on the app from a different channel, they've got a guy who's there. I think they released the tickets at 12 o'clock on Saturday.
Something like that, yeah.
Something. He's there hitting refresh.
Yeah.
Because they're so desperate to go. Big Knife and Fraser and all the other guys from G-Web, they're desperate to go because it's so well run. But I did watch a TikTok live last night by the guy that run it. I forget his name now.
Rob Billman.
So they're quite Rob. They're quite strict on when you leave.
Yes.
So if you're thinking about leaving before 4:30 on a Sunday, don't even bother coming through the gate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you will not leave until we say you leave after 4:30, which I think is great. And that's what they also do at Gaydon as well. Sometimes there are emergencies and stuff like that, genuine emergencies. You know, a lot of you squeak when you're sick as a dog on a Saturday morning. It's retro. Under the bus you go. That's what you need. You need for a structure like that, you need structure. And it's just brilliant.
I will also add as well, at the end of Swedefest, when you're leaving, Rob Billman himself will stand there and he will say thank you and shake every single person's hand who's leaving in a vehicle. That's his moment. Wow. That's his moment there to say thank you for coming along. You know, because he's busy, you know, trying to speak to them during the weekends, an absolute nightmare. But that's his moment, and he literally thanks every single person for turning up.
That's just amazing, isn't it?
That's a person.
That's a bit like the Paul Hollywood handshake on Bake Off.
But that's something that you and I should think about next year, Squeaky, as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds good. I've never done Assen, so what's the story with this? What's
I think it's trucks. I think it's Truck Fest.
Plus on steroids.
And plus aliens, isn't it? You know, it's everything you see on the socials as well. I mean, it's right up my street. Not for everybody, of course. It's loud music. There's lots of drinking. You know, fantastic trucks to see. There's young guys putting their heads near their exhaust, which I've never quite understood. But it just looks like a massive, great vibe. And I would love to be part of it. And, you know, they've just released... I follow a few guys on the socials, a few guys that are going and a few guys that are not going because they call it the paddock area.
Yeah.
I know that my mate Lee Pryor, who drives that one for Keedwells, that Scania, beautiful Scania for Keedwells, he's going. I mean, there's a guy from West Bulk Transfer. He didn't make the grade. I mean, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about super customized, fabulous trucks that drivers are devoted to. Because
you have to submit a picture of your truck.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
And apply to go.
Josh has been given the nod as well. I saw earlier today. Well, which is brilliant.
Also, a quick shout out to Carlina and Helena Wright, who very kindly supplied me with a load of footage from the Super Dick Festival in the Netherlands.
Wow, that was good.
Yeah, and I've got so much more to go through, and I do apologise, girls, but I've just not had the time to put anything else together. But they have had their truck accepted in, so they will be off to Assen,
fabulous.
They have offered to do some coverage for us on behalf of the podcast.
Wow, nice, that's brilliant. Because the only super stuff I've watched is obviously through Trucker Tim.
Yeah.
And he was saying about when they're measuring the trucks out, there's a yardstick, if you like. They measure the trucks out and distance and stuff. It just will really well run.
Because that, and that's another show that you have to apply to as well, isn't it? And you can't just turn up. You get invited, basically, same as Assen. And can I just say, on as a bit of a side with regards to Assen, I mentioned this on social media a little while back with regards to Truckstar do a photo yearbook. And I'm hoping to recreate a UK version of the photo yearbook, which is kind of possibly in the works at the moment. So if people can give me any feedback on that via the socials, that'd be much appreciated, so I can give to the publishers. I've submitted it. I think they're up for it. So there's possibly going to be a book that you can have your own photo of your truck in a book.
That'd be cool.
That is amazing.
I do apologise for the slight interruption and tangent.
But no, that's all right.
I wanted to pick up slightly where you said about the girls there going to Assen, and they're going to get some footage and bits and bobs. Can we get them sent over some posters and stickers?
I'm sure we can figure something out. Yeah. They're fair local to me.
I've got some spare posters if you need some more.
Yeah.
We'll do this off the pod. Let's sort that out. We'll get them sent some posters and bits and bobs.
They have already asked me about stickers. So we'll arrange that.
Cool.
We'll get that sorted. We'll talk off the pod and we'll get that sorted.
You're sure. Brilliant.
This episode of Matt's Trucking Great Podcast is proudly brought to you by Go Fetch with Fly Pets. If you need animal transport, whether it be UK, Europe, or the rest of the world, give GoFetch a call. Whether it be a cat, a dog, a rabbit, a hamster, a guinea pig, a bird, you name it, they can move it, no matter where it needs to go in the world. So check out the website for GoFetch or Fly Pets.
Retro show, Gaydon, obviously that is, for me, that's the pinnacle, that is my pinnacle show. I like that. For me, it's the vibe. It's just so relaxed. It's not boom, boom, boom. It's not who's the biggest TikToker or who's the biggest YouTuber. It is just like-minded people that are there for the love of the industry, the trucks. Mm. You know, the we're all out there doing the same job, pounding the tarmac, doing what, you know. And I just feel like you can bump into somebody at the bar down there at Retro. And oh, sorry, mate. Oh, no bother. Do you want a pint? Yeah, you never met the bloke before. Next thing you sat having a beer with him,
It's so good. Now,
what are your thoughts, Jim?
Well, I'll tell you, the first time I met you, Matt, wasn't it? About 5 or 6 years ago, where it was.
Yeah, it was funny enough.
I met him, and I went hunting for him because I see him on the socials. Oh, he's a TikTok. He's on YouTube. I'm going to go and find Matt Island.
We're not only that, but harking back to what we said previously about TruckNet. We were both on TruckNet.
Yeah, we were both on TruckNet. Yes. Of course we were, yeah. Euromat, of course.
Of course.
And I was still Jim Boy 124, by the way.
Yeah.
People thought that was doing the Scania I drove at the time. It wasn't. Anyway, sorry, I will try and calm my shipper mood because I'm about to talk about retro. Yeah, I remember the first time I went, and I went with guys from the CB. The CB app, CB Talk, come and find some GBR truck. I went with my mate Bill, my best mate Colin. I went with Dazzle, and I went with a guy called Wheelie, Colin, who's a micro soldier bloke now. He's just a fantastic, funniest bloke. And I remember arriving there, and I'm talking about it now, and my hairs are standing up because I see, you know, everyone knows I was a big lover of the F10 Volvo and the F86 and for my dad and that. And Bill had to literally he couldn't keep hold of me. Because Bill, I'm like walking on, it's FL10. I want to hear the chime of an FL10, you know, it's just ridiculous. And like, you can open the cab doors, you can get in, you can chat to the boys, you can tell them, you know, oh, can I sit in it? Yeah, of course you can. Can I start it? Just brilliant. And Joe and Lee Herbert and Josh and, I forget the name of the daughter, I do apologise. They are so really accommodating. Whatever we wanted, we needed, they've always done for us. You know, last few years, we've looked over the pond and looked down. All right, I'm in a particular modern Sainsbury spec truck, if you like, you know, but I still felt part of the show.
It doesn't matter, does it? That's the thing.
No, it doesn't. And you know, you was there that night, Matt, when, you know, with Bert Des Moines. You know, and his lovely dad. I know, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
With Ben,
Shell Drake and all that. You know, it's,
and you,
it's
you, moments, it's, you singing in Dutch, basically, Dutch, to a poor confused old Dutchman.
Exactly, mate. But it's moments like that where I've got, particularly for me, I've got people in my hand where I can communicate with them in their own language, make them laugh. It's a great icebreaker. And it, you know, it's great because it would look around. I've got seven people all looking at me. I know it sounds a bit sycophantic, but it's what I love. I love being a show off, blah blah blah. Blah. Another thing, you know, when I think Nipper was down 1 year, and I got on his content, Nipper the Resto Man, you know, it's stuff like that. And also this year, Freddie Parker. I hope you're listening, mate. Please let it be this year, mate. You promised me that 142. You promised me last year. Yeah. I didn't take it up. I need to drive that 142.
You sat in it, didn't you?
I sat in it. I drove it. And Squeaky's got a video of me touching it and holding it. And I'm wearing it.
What about the truck?
Yeah. I'm holding on to the ball bar of this 142. She's just sitting there, the heat from the engine, just touching it. And I'm going, I smell everything. Yeah. It's just so fabulous. The guys from Keedwell, you know, Lee from Keedwell, yeah, I sat in the N12 that I got, the F86. Mm-hmm. There's the first time I sat in the in an F10, which Dan's got now. Dan
McNulty.
Dan McNulty. I keep forgetting his surname. I sat in that and started it up. It's just so great. And also free entry to the museum, which is brilliant, and mm-hmm. the Jaguar thing.
Yeah.
And you know, everyone's got a beer. No, there's no. It's just they just run it so well. It's just no air horns. Well, you know,
and no trophies as well.
No trophies, no prize money, which is massive, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
just really well run, and you know, it tried to leave early when Joe's on the gate. It's just where do you think you're bloody going? Yeah, sorry, Squeak, go on.
No, you're all right. What's your favourite part about Retro Truck Show, Matt?
Oh, it's there is too many. It's just catching up with friends, not having to think about there's trophies, judging, all that kind of caper. It's just, you know, just turn up, chill out, catch up, see what's coming in that's new on the scene. What, and again, obviously I'm not the biggest fan of truck cleaning, so seeing stuff that's I've been found in a barn and turning up
ready. I'm not having that.
I know it's hard to believe.
You are a trophy winner.
I know. I don't want to go on about it. that's why I didn't mention it. Third prize, you know.
What did you turn up in last year? That old, was it that dull red 143?
Italian import 143. Yeah,
that's what. Yeah, yeah, mate. Yeah, with the square
streamline.
She was sweet. And has Ben turning up this year in his little 814? That's what we need to know. Or is it gone?
As far as I know, it's not gone. So as far as I know, and subject to change, of course, he will presumably be turning up in it.
I can't wait to embarrass him again. I love Ben.
It's very easy to do with you, Jim, isn't it? but the reason I chose that Scania was it brings back so many memories from when I first worked for NC Camac and Son back in the late 90s. They had, admittedly, it was a 113, but so not 143, left-hand drive in red. It was a snatchback from a company called Dartrans, which was a Polish company, but they had a British arm. They went bust. Camax ended up buying this 113 left-hand drive 4x2 Scania streamlined top line, and a Mercedes Eurocab, which they were pretty unusual left-hand drive. So as soon as I saw this red left-hand drive Scania, it's like, my God, I'm like, that's 20 years ago. And when my friend said, you know, any of these you want to take to a show, I was just like, can I take that? He's like, well, of course you can. So I was like, oh, I've got to take it.
The steering wheels on them Mercedes as well.
Yeah.
I remember coming and seeing you there where I remember picturing it now where you was parked and all that and climbing in it. I think, Jim, you may well have been sat in the hot seat at the time. And I'm sort of like having a Scooby round and all the rest of it. And if I remember rightly, to get in your bunk, was sort of, you got to climb in and down to get in it.
Yeah, down into it, yeah.
Oh, no, yeah.
You're probably down there, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I've not taken it anywhere else since, because an F-Series Volvo is much more comfortable to live in. And that's what people with these rose-tinted glasses, you know, oh, I changed my brand-new S-Series Scania for that 143 and a heartbeat.
You would not.
Honestly, it's as enjoyable as it is for that weekend, you wouldn't want it as a weekly workhorse all the time, especially for living.
No way.
My God, no. Hard work.
I'm just gonna give myself a little pat on the back there, because I saw that opening with the whole talking about the interior in the bunker of having to get down.
Yeah.
And the next subject, as you two both know, is interiors of trucks. So I'm just going to pat myself on the back, because that
well
was
done.
Smooth.
Very smooth.
Was that as good as my one when I said about truck shows right at the beginning of this one? Or
almost.
Yeah, maybe.
Almost.
Maybe.
You sound like Gary Davis now. Segwaying. What's wrong with you?
Segwaying. That was... Yeah, so moving on to interiors, that I obviously I've only been driving, this is my 15th year, I think, that I've been driving. So it's not an awfully long time in comparison to some people. But I remember, obviously, I have vivid memories of being away with my dad as a driver. My dad was a driver, being away with him as a kid and things like that. And so I still feel that excitement and I still feel that nostalgia, of being in trucks and things. And I think back to the old Seddon Atkinsons. I've got pictures that I could put online and show you, show the listener. And then Iveco's and it wasn't the Stralis. What did they call them? The Euro something. Euro.
Iveco Eurostar or Eurotech.
Eurostar.
There's Eurotech and Eurostar.
The smaller one was the Tech, wasn't it? And the larger one was the Star.
Huge cab of its time, yeah.
No. And I remember my dad having the smaller Iveco, in and out of steel mills with him in there and stuff like that. It was just unbelievable. And I loved every second of it. You know, I can still see that it almost looked like Braille in each corner of this square red button that you would push to put the hazards on.
Yeah.
And I remember being sat in the passenger seat as a kid, and we'd be driving along, and every time we overtook another truck, I'd go, "Can I do it, Dad? Can I do it?"
I love it.
Go, right, I'll tell you when. I'll tell you when.
And
as the geezer that we've overtook flashed him in, I would lean over and push this button, beep, 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 to say thank you for fucking us in.
Yeah.
You know? And then as we got older and I realised that actually the hazard light isn't how truckers do it, Can I do it, Dad? And he'd have a look in his mirror and he'd check that there's no bobbies about and he'd go, "Go on then." And I'd put my seatbelt off and I'd lean across to the indicator stalk.
Seatbelt.
It was a thick square.
Yeah, remember it.
Big thick square arm and the horn was on the end of it. Mm-hmm. And it would be beep, 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 beep as you clicked it up and down to say thank you.
Yeah. Worrying why it was in Braille.
Yeah.
But you remembered
the description
was good.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
perfect. Our friend Trevor T Dog, he went to Walsingham last week, and he was looking. I've FaceTimed him, and he took me around an F86, which is lovely. But then he climbed in an FL10.
Yeah,
and my dad had an FL10. But the greatest registration was D40ERF. And the bloke was standing next to me while I'm doing it. I said, "I'm not really. I know what they look like inside. It's fine. I want to hear the chime."
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we need to start that. We know, ding, 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 ding. My dad had that ripped right out in brand new. Like, yeah, like, that could go. But you know, like I used to sit on my dad's knee and stuff when I was going.
Yeah, I did.
Just like, I remember one day my dad actually broke his finger, and he's, funny enough, the same finger as my manky one, and he dropped a curbstone on it and he couldn't change gear, and we was down in Guildford somewhere, and he was in so much pain, he was white with pain, he couldn't, and I actually changed gear for him, like sat in the middle in the F10, changed gear for him
all the way home.
Imagine that these days.
You wouldn't get away with it.
No.
I put a picture on my social media yesterday, or I think it was yesterday, and it was my son Oliver, who's 9, and I take him to the yard with me, and work have given him a little proper branded Harrison Solway t-shirt and a high vis and stuff. And I take him with me to clean the truck and, on a weekend or whatever, and get the tyres shine, get the jet wash out, And he absolutely loves it. And it absolutely pains me and kills me that he's not experiencing it the way that I did.
No.
I can't take him with me now and chuck him on the top bunk Yeah. And wake him up at 4 o'clock in the morning by the engine rumming and spraying brut into the air, you know?
or taking him into a place and hiding him behind the curtain, the driver's seat and all that, you know?
Yeah. Behind the curtain.
We all had to hide, didn't we?
Opening the top locker and your dad's dirty magazines falling out. And going,
and the smell of black coffee squeak.
Black coffee. The smell of black coffee out of a but it's gotta be out of a flask.
Absolutely, mate. Well, it's a bit grey. Happy days. Mate.
That was just unbelievable.
I bet there are so many people listening now that went out with their dads. I mean, like you had Chris Bradford on. You know, I was transfixed by that geezer. Mm-hmm. And if he ever wants a fella over this way, give me a bell.
He also usually comes over to Sweet Fest if he can as well.
I'm definitely going to change to golf.
Cancel your golfing holiday.
No, I'm not cancelling that. No chance. My whack. I'm not going to say the other word, but yeah, I'm not doing that. But
hit dash.
But the way he was, we're going on something else now. Squid, we're not talking about Chuck Interiors, but. He made it really important there, saying, well, you've done your work. I'll give you a week's work. You've done it by Thursday. You have the day off and pay you. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, who does that these days?
Yeah.
No.
They don't do that. They go, right, you've done early. Right, this. Oh, look, he's been held up or he's hiding in the labor. You can go and do his stuff.
Mm-hmm. But the trouble is now, a lot of these companies are also part of some sort of pallet network. And so your tramper drivers and your pallet network day drivers, it crosses over. So... if your trampers have got a spare couple of hours because you've done your job really well and you know your customers and you've managed to get in and get tips.
Exactly,
and
mate.
You know, you've done the things that you need to do as a driver through all the experience that you've got. You've saved yourself that couple of hours thinking, I'll be able to park up a little bit earlier tonight and I might be able to record a podcast. No, the office don't have that in mind. The office go, hang on a minute. Let's use this tramper driver to do a dayman's couple of jobs.
It happened yesterday. I went to Bartram's and I've got a friendly little relationship with a guy called Darren up there. And by the way, he says, deh, quite a lot, right? Anyway, he's a smashing bloke, right? And he said,
I know where you've been.
No, he don't. No, he's a forklift driver. And he said, I know where you... He said, I thought you were retired. He said, someone said you were playing golf last week. I said, no, I'm not retired, mate. I've got to try and earn a few quid. He said, you're a bit early, Jim. He said, you're about 3 hours. He said, I'll sort that out for you. Anyway, there's two other geezers waiting to load in under the canopy. I'm there, made the relationship, and bang, the pallets are on, I'm gone. Mm-hmm. And I'm you've done well getting loading out of there, Jim. Can you do X, Y, and Z when you get back? Well, hang on a minute, that's my time that I got back, but it's not seen like that. I get that. Yeah. But the way that Chris done it, it was just like, there's your week's work, Gemma. Get on with it. And then he gives. Is it Ivan or his other driver we're talking about? That's what you need. You get people to work for you like them two people for a fleet of drivers. What a company it would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What a company?
It depends. It does depend on the size of the company, doesn't it? The operations, and things that are going on.
Yeah,
or, you know, you got people phoning in. You know, the day driving team may well have 20 drivers, but three of them are phoned in sick that day.
Yeah,
and so. They've got to find that. They've got to cover that work. If they don't cover that work, we don't get paid. You know. So
exactly. Yeah.
I do get it.
And Chris's work is quite challenging as well. Flatbeds, you know, strapping and sorting all that. So it's not just a simple case of pull the curtains back and tip and load sort of thing. You've also got to be prepared to do that in the middle of winter when it's chucking it down with rain or snow. Getting out there,
And you're trying to roll straps up that are frozen.
I use them Bluetooth. Their Bluetooth ones are really good. You've seen them on Temu.
I've seen glider. You can strap down them glider engines.
I had a load of striped paint on the other day. I tell you what, mate, didn't move an inch. Pigeons, 30,000 litres of pigeons' milk.
Yeah.
Bosh. No problem.
Funny enough, this evening on the way to eat some grub, there's a Renault Premium low loader went past with a 360, well, quite a large 360 loader on, and it clearly had magnetic tracks because there wasn't a hope of even a piece of rope holding that thing on.
You know them electric Susies? If you put in number 7 pin, it activates them. On the green one. They've switched it over from the camera. It's magnet grips.
The Italians are big fans of the old magnetic load and decks, aren't they? They love it.
Talking of the Renault Premium there.
Going back to interiors.
There was my little segue again. Talking of the Renault Premium, I came across a driver. That sounds wrong. I didn't come across a driver today. I met a driver today. He was loading out the same place as I was. That's only just clicked for you two, hasn't it?
No, it's just both gone. It was just Jim. and his childish little mind.
He's gone. His glasses have come off. Yeah. His hands are in his face. He's gone.
I was, being a sensible and mature adult that I am, I wasn't affected by that double entendre.
Oh, my God. He's just taking his slip one in now and then.
Not to a driver.
Oh dear.
So yeah, I met this driver today. He had a Volvo, not the Aero. It was a 74 plate, same version as yours, Jim. And he'd got out and said hello, and he'd gone to start unbuckling his curtains and everything else. And he went to go get back in his cabin. It locked. But his key fob, because obviously the keyless, it's just a push to start button thing. He couldn't get back in. Both doors had locked. The cab had locked itself. The keys were inside.
Couldn't
understand what was going on. Absolute nightmare.
That happened with a 4-series scanner a lot, didn't it? Do you remember?
And the Renault Premium. That was the,
and Volvo.
The Premium. I've never come across it with a Volvo before.
MDF Transport and Great Yarmouth had a NH12 Volvo 6x4 bonneted thing, and that had a habit of locking itself, and I managed to lock the keys at twice in one day, Craig Yarmouth, which really made me unpopular.
I bet Mark loved you for that, didn't he?
Did you get a medal or trophy for that as well?
Well, there's a photo that I can send to you boys, but we can't put on social media, from dear old Julian, who's sat very sadly no longer with us, but he put a post-it note on my forehead that read something that you can probably guess roughly along the lines of what it said, but I'm not going to put it on here.
Richard.
It was worse. It was worse than Richard.
Oh, no, he didn't see you on Tuesday, did he?
He might well have done. but the Renault Premium's had a habit of locking themselves. And again, a company I work for had spare keys tucked away under the bonnet. So if you locked yourself out, you could open the bonnet, find the key.
Wow, that was right.
Imagine the insurance company finding that out.
Mate, I live in Suffolk and work in North Suffolk and Norfolk. Yeah. I know of companies that genuinely leave keys in the ignition at night.
We talked about it earlier tonight.
The premium, where the door handle was on the Premium, they used to wear. So it was sort of like almost part of the armrest of the door frame, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It was flat.
And to lock the door, you push that down.
Yeah.
And to get out, you lifted it up.
Same as a 4-series scanner, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So when you got out and slammed the door, the handle, the flap, would drop down when you slammed
exactly,
the door.
Exactly, yeah.
And it'd lock you out.
I also did it in a 106 DAF. Did a week's work, casual. Finish my week, if you're not aware, the 106 DAF, you can only open the grill if you've got the door open because the handle is in the step. So anyway, I finished my week's work.
And you have to pull it twice?
Which is a real pain, naturally.
good old DAF,
yeah. So anyway, I typically finished early, yeah, brilliant, lovely job. Got my stuff out of the truck, done all that, shut the door, and it was locked. I think the key was in it. I can't remember exactly what. I put the keys under the grill, shut the grill, and it was like, oh, he can't get the keys out now, can he? Anyway, oh, never mind, he needs a spare key. So anyway, I drove off home, and I messaged the guy I was working for. I was like, I'll just let you know, I put the keys in the header tank, but I've shut the grill, so you just need the spare key to get the keys on the Monday morning. And I got this irate message. It's like, how on earth am I going to do that? That's a lease motor. The spare keys are in Kent. It's going to be a call out. It's just like,
oh, no.
And I was like, right, don't panic. I know how to get into them because at Trans Am, we'd had this a few times, and with the older DAFs, if you've got a coat hanger, and yeah. I don't want to give too much away, but coat hanger, a door rubber, and a bit of a ladder, you can pop that lock and open that door.
I remember working for a guy. I'd done a few trips to Spain with him, and he had a 95 or 10, whatever it was, and he had this third party lock that you could put on the outside.
The crook lock over the door handle.
Like a door handle, something like that.
Yeah.
And he showed me how it worked.
Yeah.
And then shut the door. And the keys were in the trunk.
Oh, no.
And he was there literally like pulling the door. And they got a forklift to pull the door out and he popped it up. But yeah, lock the key. All right, Alan Cook, if you're listening.
I remember as a kid, my dad's yard was not that far away from where I lived. And as kids, you go out with your mates, don't you? You just pot around, don't you?
Yeah,
you just
go get about, to no hang good out.
And
yeah,
you just
yeah.
hang out, don't you? And my go-to place was always the yard on an evening, knowing that it was quiet and there was no one there and, you know, all that sort of stuff. They were all IV codes of different sorts. And then eventually they started introducing MANs, but there's a different story. I'll tell you about an MAN Excalibur. But anyway, the IV codes, the number plates at the front used to drop down. And that's where the toe and eye thing was.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Of course, yeah.
And that's where everybody, all drivers, left the keys in there.
Yeah.
And so me and my mate Lewis, who was called, that's what we'd do. We'd go to the yard on an evening and we'd pull the keys out of one of the front of the, normally my dad's, but if my dad was away down the road, it'd be someone else's. And yeah, we'd get in it and just sort of bomb around the yard for half an hour. In a truck, you know.
He come in the morning, like, there's 3 kilometres on this truck that I didn't do last night.
What's going on? Where? Yeah, but hang on a minute. I had a quarter of a tank of diesel. There's not that. We used to do, I remember, I vividly remember going, trying to show off as a kid. I mean, I must have been maybe 12 or 13, but you've got to remember times were different. And my dad, from a very young age, had me in that driver's, putting taut liners over a pit and getting underneath them and washing them and jet washing them. And, you know, he would have me with a jammy bar, lifting wheels on and off and tyres on and off and, you know, all sorts of different stuff. But I remember being there, this showing off in front of my friend Lewis this one particular time, talking about the pressure of air brakes and building up the air and showing him the bar pressure and this, that and the other, and waiting for the beep, 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 beep to go off until we were ready. And I remember rolling forward and we were doing no more than, I don't know, 3 or 4 mile an hour, literally just rolling forward. And I went, watch the pressure of these brakes. And I reached for the handbrake and pushed it down and put it on. Poof, everything came flying forward. Everything came off.
Including
bolts,
him.
Everything just came flying off. And in pure panic, I just went, leg it. We just jumped out of this truck and left it. So this poor driver's turned up the next morning, opened his door, well, gone for his keys, they're not there, they're still in the ignition, opened his door and gone, what the bloody hell's going on in here?
When we were kids, man. Yeah. Doing something with Dad, you'd park the pot lorry around the corner, the F10 around the corner, and I'd be flashing my uncle coming the other way in his little mini, and when he comes to start on Monday morning, the battery would be flat. It's just like, man, just spent hours just sitting in that. I'd spent hours crazy. Sitting in that truck. My mates were playing football, whatever they were doing, you know, and I'd be in there just pretending to going through gear sequences and listening to the range change and stuff. It's just, just
Can you remember what gearbox that Ivigo your dad had, Squeaky? ZF, was it a knock across?
His original Euro Trek would have been.
Yeah.
The Eurostar, I'm pretty sure, or his second Eurostar, because he had just a plain white one, and then they got him a newer model, and it had the top square window. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that's the Eurostar, definitely. They did have the option of a twin spear, didn't they, them Eurostars?
I only drove one with 4 on the left, 4 on the right, through the gate.
Knock across.
Yeah, we had the cursor at me when I worked for Securicorp.
Yeah.
We had the cursor. They were a bit of a, like a,
half a Mars bore, sort of a bit like the EPS on a Merc.
Yeah. And they, were they called Cursor for a reason? Because you cursed.
They were awful things. Yeah. 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 But then they got Axor. And what do you do with an Axor or a Cursor?
Oh, God.
I'm pretty sure one of them, I'm pretty sure the newer model was an automatic, or it's like a semi automatic type setup. But I might have been too young to really sort of take that in.
Yeah, cool.
So I think we're going to wrap this up a little bit. There was a few more items that we wanted to discuss on interiors, but we can come back and visit that, can't we, at a later date?
Yeah, exactly. We'll get to it eventually, won't we?
So I'll hand over to you, Matt, to do your outro.
Your outro.
You look like you're melting there, mate.
it's pretty warm, yeah, because you have to pay €10 a day for the aircon because the electricity is really expensive in Cyprus. So just to stop people blasting it all day and costing people a fortune, so... I might just pop and get a cooling beverage before I go to sleep. I think that could be an idea, couldn't it? So, thank you very much, gents, for your
time. On that note, just whilst you're talking, talking about like the cost of electric and everything else.
Yeah,
I think that's a good time for us to say with the podcast. Obviously, it costs an awful lot of money for us to run it. Me, Matt, Jim, Alex as well when he's on, and all the other guests, none of us take any money out of the podcast. None of us take any form of wage or anything like that. All of the money that's donated towards the podcast goes back into creating more podcasts, whether that be to pay the editor, whether that to have posters printed or stickers printed or anything else. And so we would be really, really, really grateful if anybody can donate anything, whether it be a pound, 50p, £5, whatever you've got. If you can head over to buymeacoffee.com/Matt Island, it'd be very, very much appreciated.
Yeah, that's very true. Thank you, Squeaky. I was just about to say the same thing. Or if not, patreon.com/Matt's Truck and Wreck Podcast. Even if you can just spare a quid, it all really does help just to try and get the word out there to keep us making the content and keep it going on a weekly basis. So thank you very much for that, Squeaky. And if you're a company or know a company that would like to sponsor an individual episode as well, please also get in touch. But I think that's kind of all we need to say, isn't it? I believe, gents?
I think so. Now, it's been a pleasure.
It's been very enjoyable. Yeah, it really has.
Thank God we didn't do truck interiors.
Well, I also know that Alex really wants to do truck interiors because he's got a lot to say about them. So,
great stuff.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
And he's now about to go off on holiday or will be back by the time we next speak to him. So we shall let you chaps go off to your bunks and I shall go and get some cool, fresh air. It's been an absolute pleasure. Really enjoyed this one, gents. Thank you very much.
Me too.
We shall speak to you all soon.
Cheers, guys.
See you later.